Sir George Hamilton, the Chief Constable. It's his last day tomorrow. He was in the studio with us a few minutes ago, just the penultimate day of his job as Chief Constable. And he has said something very interesting this morning about what his deepest regret was. Let's have a listen.
The biggest regret is probably around the issues that I feel I had limited control over. We might have made our own mistakes along the way, but on the legacy issue, the unresolved, the lack of closure, the lack of justice, the unanswered questions for families and for victims, and also the impact that's first and foremost the most important thing. But sitting alongside that is the negative impact that unresolved legacy issue has on policing today.
And you take some responsibility for that, do you?
Well, we've done our best with what we've got, but it is a regret that 5 years after I've taken office and I asked for it to be resolved within a few weeks, and then we had the Stormont House Agreement in my first 6 months, and everybody seemed to agree what needed to happen, and 5 years on, we're still waiting for it to be delivered. Now, I can't take responsibility for things that I don't have any control over. I think if you look at individual legacy cases along the way, policing is a human endeavour, and I can look back at things that we could have done better, or we dropped the ball, or we made mistakes, and that's a matter of regret. But actually, that's because policing is not equipped or resourced to deal with legacy, and the responsibility for that and for working out the new institutions for it rests with the government.
So let's talk about this with the Irish News correspondent Alison Morris. Good morning to you, Alison.
Good morning.
Good morning. So Sir George Hamilton saying his biggest regret in policing is the unanswered questions for families and victims in terms of legacy investigations.
And I think it's probably, or should at least be, the biggest regret of all those involved in shaping our peace process, that this matter is still hanging around 21 years later and completely unresolved. Policing, and he's right, and he said before, policing is not equipped to deal with legacy and to deal with the past. We do need a separate mechanism to do that. It taints the future, and off that interview, I heard you had a question about the number of Catholic officers. You know, legacy feeds into that as well, and this perception of bias in relation to nationalist victims and all those things have all troubled the PSNI and their progression. What he could have done better, I think, you know, when you look at the issues over disclosure to the Ombudsman and even, you know, the Loughran Island case, which I think has sort of tainted his tenure as Chief Constable, those things, if they'd have been handled differently, might have helped in regards to confidence with victims. But at the end of the day, this isn't a PSNI issue. This is something that needs to be given over to an independent investigations body, which is something that was part of the Stormont House and then the Fresh Start, but yet we don't have no politics to push that on. And still at this point in time, victims are left in limbo with this sort of ad hoc system of some people get criminal trials, some don't, some get inquests, some don't. You know, some have their HET reports, some never got them. You know, so there's no fairness and there's no equalness in our legacy system, and that is where George Hamilton is completely correct in saying.
Andrew Murphy with us as well. Stay there, Alison, if you can, from Relatives for Justice. Morning to you.
Hiya, Stephen.
Good morning. So Sir George saying this morning, when he's asked about the biggest regret of his career, the unanswered questions for families and victims, and he said the unresolved negative impact that's had on policing today.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it is a bit of a regret, but he's had his own role in that. I mean, it isn't just a matter that the PSNI is equipped to do legacy investigations. It is that they are not independent. So the legacy of the RUC lives in the PSNI through legacy. And that's absolutely not what we expected when a new system of policing was established, and underpins Alison's point why we need to have an independent legacy mechanism. I mean, the sort of things that happened were the Deputy Chief Constable under George Hamilton's time was told by the courts that he was guilty of abuse of power in relation to the Glenann collusion cases, because he stopped an investigation into joining up all of those scores of killings where the state was implicated as a matter of collusion. You know, you have the systemic lack of disclosure in inquest after inquest by the PSNI. And then you have the the absurd relationship between the Retired Police Officers Association, which is completely obsessed with upholding the reputation or maintaining some sort of gloss of the reputation of the RUC without recognising that the RUC was involved in grave harm. So, you know, George Hamilton, I believe, has been absolutely genuine about wanting to have a resolution, but is not honest about the role the PSNI has played in the past number of years.
And yet it is a societal issue, this. This goes well beyond the PSNI, the whole issue of legacy. This goes right into our society and indeed the inability of politicians to find a resolution to this, Alison Morris, right?
It has. It was one of the biggest failures of the Good Friday Agreement that this wasn't settled long ago. There have been a number of attempts, as you know, to try and get some sort of solution. They've all been blocked for various reasons. At the minute, without an assembly, there's very little chance of the legacy mechanisms being implemented, despite the fact that the consultations have taken place and we know what they should look like or what the sort of outline for a shape. But interesting too, and I don't know whether they touched on it, but at the policing board meeting yesterday, George Hamilton did mention again the politicians should consider a statute of limitations or some sort of line in the sand. And we've heard that from a number of officials lately, people in very senior positions. We've heard it from the former DPP. We've heard it from the Attorney General. We've heard it from several people. And you can see that that's probably the preferred option of the British government. They would like this all to go away. Like, that's always been the case, but they've thought that people would just get fighting for it and they wouldn't need to do it. And we're going to have a new Prime Minister soon. I think it's interesting that the first two MPs to come out and back Boris Johnson were Gavin Williamson and Johnny Mercer, who are both the people who in Westminster have been fighting for a statute of limitations for troops. So I would say that there's a short window of opportunity here to get legacy mechanisms in place and to give victims some sort of resolution. If not, you know, my fear would be that something that is going to completely, you know, reel off the top of victims' wishes and impose a system that I don't think anyone will get any satisfaction from.
I see, Andre, the front page of the newsletter today, they've interviewed George Hamilton too. They're actually quoting him from the policing board. At his final appearance before the policing board, Sir George Hamilton stressed he was not advocating an amnesty and did not personally believe in one, but he highlighted other peace process concessions he was comfortable with, such as the early release of paramilitary prisoners, as examples of steps politicians agreed to as a price worth paying for society moving forward. And he said any political debate on drawing a line on past killings must be considered in the context of the relatively low chances of securing historical convictions.
Yeah, and I think families are very, very realistic about the chances of prosecutions. But we are absolutely, as a society, at one from whoever was affected. I'm sorry, I have terrible feedback in terms of this. No matter who a family was affected by state actors or non-state actors, there is a universal approach that people generally do not want an amnesty, that the processes of justice and law and order cannot be undermined. There is an absolute acceptance that if we have a statute of limitations for state actors, that will apply to all of the actors. And no matter who you're affected by, that scene is completely untenable. Victims and survivors of our conflict have paid a huge price during this peace process. Alison alluded to it there, where they have always been put on the back burner and that their rights and their interests have always played second fiddle to all of the other processes and progresses that we've made. Now, that may be understandable, historically speaking, and in terms of what was possible at different stages. But we have come to the stage where victims and survivors must be delivered to, and that must be under the auspices of their rights, not just about what we would like to deliver to victims and survivors or what they might like or their wishes are. They have inalienable rights that are underpinned by international law. The British government has the obligations under that law, and it is now the time that those rights need to be met.
Kenny Donaldson from Innocent Victims United joining us. Morning to you, Kenny.
Good morning, Stephen.
So Sir George Hamilton has told this programme a matter of minutes ago the biggest regret of his time as the chief is the unanswered questions for families and victims in terms of legacy investigations.
Yes, Stephen, and I suppose, look, those of us whom are involved obviously in this work are very clear of the hurt that there continues to exist within our community. And we have a set of proposals which are there presently, re the Northern Ireland office. But we need to be also very clear that there's a reason 5 years on why those proposals have not been implemented, because they neither have political nor societal support. And rather than people cheerleading for that those particular proposals as they stand to be implemented, they need to get back to the table and understand that unless we have proposals which are fair, equitable, balanced, and which are about equality of access for all victims and survivors to support services.
Do you admire, Sir George, for admitting this or prioritising victims and their families as his biggest regret?
Well, I suppose, you know, you could say, Stephen, whenever you're on your way out the door, it's you know, to say it's now a priority, we're all very well aware of that. I mean, I don't doubt George's sincerity around all of this. But the realities are that politically there exists the abilities to reconfigure those structures as they currently are if we're going to get to a realistic opportunity of having societal and indeed individual reconciliation in this place.
Okay,
burying our heads in the sand, doing more of the same the last two decades is not going to work.
Thank you, Kenny. Ben Laurie now, the deputy editor of the newsletter. Morning to you, Ben.
Good morning.
Your reaction to what Sir George has said?
I'm very concerned at George Hamilton's comments on legacy in the past, and not so much today. In the past, I believe he called for Stormont House to be implemented. I have not heard, and if I'm wrong about this, I'm happy to make clear I'm wrong. In our paper, for example, I have not heard him talk about one of the biggest concerns about these legacy proposals, which have been stalled, as was just said there, for a reason, which is that the RUC will be really vulnerable in the police misconduct probes, that they'll be judged to not to the criminal standard, and that there are going to be hundreds of these misconduct probes, and they're the only people who are going to be judged in that way. I haven't heard him say a thing about this. He shared platforms with Republicans and so on. And I think that there's a real problem with a chief constable who we need our police leaders to be speaking in defence of the police force before,
and,
which withstood decades of terrorism.
And yet, Ben, he acknowledged today that the fact that families and victims have not got answers to their questions has had a negative impact on policing today. So this is not just about the past. He said this is having a negative impact today on policing.
Yes, there's a negative impact in policing. And one of the reasons that there's a negative impact in policing is the overwhelming role, task that the legacy branch faces. And remember what is wanted by Republicans and many people other than Republicans. They want an opening of files. There's a vast amount of files to be opened. Some of them want to open files so they can make things difficult for the police from an intelligence point of view. And the police has been rushing to apologise when previously it hasn't been opening files. It's overwhelmed. It was overwhelmed with the Bloody Sunday investigation. There's a huge number of investigations in which the state forces are particularly vulnerable, who prevented civil war. And we, by the way, are the only newspaper almost that's been covering this week after week, month after month, year after year. And it would be good if we could have senior members of the serving security forces. Remember that the army defends its soldiers and it pays their legal costs. We wrote a story about a former RUC man who's been under investigation by the Ombudsman for many, many years and is not having his legal costs paid. Why is it that the army resolutely defends its former soldiers? And we need former RUC men who are now serving in the PSNI to be defending the record of the police force past and present.
Okay, Ben Laurie, thank you very much indeed.